I've never had anything up my butt. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the greatest podcast on earth about nonsense. I am Chris Cash from Mount Phillip Metalworks, joined by my co-host Roy the Psychopath Scott from Vintage Axeworks. This is the Axe and Iron Podcast. This episode is brought to you by the one, the only, Red Label Abrasives.
Ooh.
Go to redlabelabrasives.com, sign up for their newsletter, and receive 15% off of your first order of abrasive belts. We both use them in our shops. We love them. They are one of the absolute best companies that we work with. They are phenomenal. Their belts are amazing. Go check them out at
Customer
Red Label.
Customer service.
Oh, yeah. Small business, customer service, everything.
Off the charts.
Off the freaking charts. Go sign up for their newsletter and receive 15%. I believe it's 15%. I hope I'm not saying that wrong. RedLabelAbrasives.com. Go over there. Sign up for the newsletter. You get 15% off or something like that. I don't know what it is, but it's something. And they can do custom sheets. They can do any belt size. They can do your disc sander stuff. They can do all that stuff. Red Label Abrasives. Red Label Abrasives. We love you. Anyway, what's been going on, my brother?
Same old shit, yo.
Yeah, you know, I see you've been doing some nice little axes. You had a little, what do you call that, a little double bitter?
Yeah, it was one that you got me that I picked up at
Maker
Camp that you got. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of, Maker Camp tickets just went live yesterday. Don't sleep.
I saw that.
Go get your tickets because they usually sell out before the end of this month, which is March, and Maker Camp is not until October. So head over to Maker Camp. Casco Mountain Maker Camp and get your tickets. There should be links all over their bio and all of that stuff. Also along with that, we'll get all the shit out of the way right off the jump. Let everybody know. The Group Forged project is coming up very soon. It is in 1 month exactly.
Good grief already.
Yeah, already. You can also go to the Casco Mountain Makers Camp.com and hit the top of the page if you're on your phone. Click here for tickets. It'll take you to the Eventbrite, and it'll show you all the events that are coming up. The Group Forge project is by far the best value that you can get for any of the classes there. We are going to be making a large log holder to complement the large fire pit. $376 gets you room and board. Hang out for 2 days. It was so funny. This guy, Dan, from Woe Woodshop, he came to the last Group Forge project, and he said he booked a hotel. Your hoodie is rubbing the mic really loudly.
Sorry.
And he booked a hotel because he didn't realize that for that price, you could actually come and have a room. So he booked a hotel up the road, not knowing that you get a
that was
room.
Included.
It was included. Yeah, the $376 is room and board as well as the Group Forge project. We're going to be doing a bunch of little projects on the side to go along with that log holder that we're making. Teta is going to be joining me. I just got word last night. Mark is coming all the way from Wales to go to the Group Forge project.
Mark Meadow,
Deer River Craftsman.
Are you serious?
Yeah. He just texted me last night and said, "See you at the Group Forge."
Oh man, yeah, I was on the fence of not going, but now I gotta go. I gotta meet that motherfucker.
Tickets for that thing are selling pretty good. There's a couple spots left. I think he upped it to like 25 people now because everybody was signing up for it. But anyway, yeah, Group Forge project coming up. I hope to see you guys there. It's going to be great. Me, myself, Tetsu's coming. It's his design. He drew the concept for the log holder. It's going to be a phenomenal time. It always is. We literally start work like ASAP. As soon as our feet hit the ground, we go.
So what's the,
so it's Thursday night, Friday night? No, Friday. Hang on. This says April 5th through the 7th. But people usually show up on Thursday, and we usually get rocking and rolling right away. But yes, April 5th through the 7th.
Gotcha.
Is, Friday through Sunday, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound right? Anyway, yeah, go sign up for that. Check it out. It'd be fun. I'm excited. I got a lot of shit going on right now. And that's just one more thing to add to the list of things to do, which is going to be one of my favorite things. Head up there to make some cool shit for the Blackthorn. It'd be a great time. If you have any questions about that and you're listening to this, feel free to message myself and or Austin on the Maker Camp Instagram account. He'll get right back to you as soon as he can. Same thing with me. But that's it. Yeah, I hope to see you there too. I know you try to make it every year. So 12-hour drive. It's a lot.
It is. So I was just sitting here thinking how many times I've been to the Blackthorn. I don't know. It's 6 times or something like that now. Not a single time the weather's been good. Like, it's been okay a few
actually,
times.
The last group forge was really nice, you remember? Because I moved it from April when we got the super mega snowstorm. But when we built the bench, if you remember, we were working outside for a lot of it. Like, they burned the wood outside and everything.
Yeah.
It was nice and sunny that weekend.
Well, it was it's not bad. It just hasn't been like, oh, this is the
perfect
weather ever.
No, you want super nice weather. You go to Justin's timber framing class in July, and it's 947 degrees outside.
No, thank you.
And everybody's sweating, cutting wood. Oh, yeah. Anyway.
Beards and wood.
Yeah, beards and wood, exactly.
So I saw some of your rot.
The pre-order on the website, which went fantastically, sold out in 3 hours, and I've slowly been – I had a lot of machines that I had to get to, and I had to build a vice stand for somebody. I had a bunch of restoration work I had to do for customers, and now all that shit's out of the way, so I'm just fully focused on hammers right now.
They look good, man.
Thanks. They're a lot of freaking work, but – you know, it's just like one of those things. It was kind of good to get all these machines done. I had one machine went to Houston, Texas. One machine went to Las Vegas. One machine went to New York. A couple local guys here. We also just closed the deal with the Bulgarian guy. Tetsu just got back from Bulgaria. So we're bringing 7 more power hammers over.
What?
From Europe. Yeah.
What are they?
They're going to be pretty much the same as what I brought over before. They're 140-pound ram weights and 250-pound ram weights. We're bringing 7 of those over. So that'll be fun. They usually take about a month or 2 to get here. And then I have those about 2,000 really, really, really nice hand tools that I need to start selling soon.
Mystery boxes.
No. This is like very, very nice blacksmithing, forging equipment and stuff from that shop that I cleared out back in October, November. I'm finally going to get around to doing that probably at the end of this month, maybe into April. And, yeah, things are fucking rocking and rolling, man.
Sounds like it. Sounds fun.
Matt's doing good. He's been making some shit in the shop. His stuff's selling pretty good.
Listen, that sword that he made the other week, handle work on that thing. Man, I'm not a knife or sword guy, but
yeah, me neither.
Holy crap, that thing was nice.
In my stories, I was like, man, I hate swords, but damn, is this thing nice.
That thing is nice.
Yeah, he worked on it for probably, I don't know, off and on, maybe 2-3 weeks. But overall, it was like really cool at the end of it all.
So was it a commission build or build?
No, it wasn't either. None of those. It was just something he had in his head and he wanted to try some different techniques that he hasn't tried. And, it turned out good. Looked good.
Dang.
I mean, the guy's made over 100,000 swords. Haven't you ever heard him say that on podcasts? He's made over 100,000 swords, bro.
Come on, what the fuck? First off, I don't watch.
Trust me, that's what I say too. I was like, come on, man. Come on, man. Don't you think that's a little far-fetched to be saying?
Might be stretching it.
Come on, bro. Anyway, things are going good. We got some.
That's awesome.
When I get back from the Group Forge project, I'm hoping to get that big Chambersburg start going on that. And I really, really want to get the freaking foundation done this spring. And have it running to have an event either in April or May.
Of next year?
No, this year.
Of this year? Dang.
Yeah.
Oh, is Matt coming up for the Forge event?
I don't know, to be honest with you. He's always wishy-washy about it. Depends on what he has going on here with kids and all that stuff. I mean, he does have 3 kids. But yeah, that's pretty much it. I'm like slammed right now. It's kind of wild.
Isn't it weird? I touched on this last time. It's like whenever you go to the fucking supermarket, no one is at the cash register until you're ready to check out, and then everything is all fucking clogged up. It's like that just feels like that's how business is in general.
Yeah, I've like, actually gotten some messages from other guys that are kind of in the game, and they're like, "Is stuff slow for you right now? Because we're slow." And I'm like, "No, dude, I have way too much work right now. Like, and my mental capacity is at like
an 11. Max.
Yeah, it's maxed out. But I, you know, it's a battle I fight every day to like, you know, I don't get all
did you get out of bed?
No, well that too, but I don't get all fucking like. Guru about it and shit and like motivational speech, but I do say to myself like, yo, you got this shit. You got this shit. This ain't nothing. This is what you wanted. You got it. You know what I mean?
I don't think I've ever said that to myself.
I do. I have to because I'll get like super down because I just don't think like the growing pains thing is a real thing. Like, damn, do I really want to be fucking sending shit all around the country and then be importing stuff from Europe? Like, do I really want to do this shit? You know, it's like, I'm kind of comfortable. Do I really want to get uncomfortable? But that's really the only way you grow, right?
Yeah, uncomfortable.
But, yeah. I had an interesting conversation with a gentleman at the bank, the other day. I was doing some paperwork on something and told him business names. He says, yeah, it's Empire Dirt. He's like, I think he was from Nigeria or something. And we had been talking. I said, how long have you been over here? He's like, 8 years or whatever. And he's like, Empire Dirt. He says, what do? You construction? You move a lot of dirt and stuff? I'm like, not really, man. I said, it's not even worth trying to explain what I do, honestly. I just tell him I do restoration work. I was like, that's basically what I do is just restoration work.
I still don't know what the fuck you do, man.
Yeah. You know, it's funny bringing that up. I think it's pretty clear what I do. You know, if you follow me or see any of the stuff that I do or anything. It's really hard for me to understand what other people do.
It's fair, yeah.
I've been looking at, like, some accounts that I follow and just people that I've never met. And I'm like, just out of pure curiosity, not, like, hate or anything. Like, what does this guy even do? You know, it's just like, what does this person do? Like, how do you – not that it's any of my business, but I am genuinely curious about how people generate income for themselves. Like what do you get paid to do?
Yeah.
Like it's hard for me to explain people like, oh, I get machines and I like bring them back to life and then people buy them or, you know, they order them or whatever. Like I have a list right now from a customer of like, hey, I need this. I need this. I need this. I need this. And I'm like, fuck, you know, I'm like, dude, I have so much shit going on, but, there's not a lot of people doing what I do as far as antique machines go and stuff and bringing them back to life. So it's, I mean, realistically, I can name like, there's flippers out there. Don't get me wrong. There's people that just straight up buy shit and just turn it the way it is. But that's not what I do. I'm more interested in getting shit working. I don't sell to collectors. I've said that a ton of times. I sell to like people that are fucking going to work with this shit.
For sure.
And, I see people flipping shit and there's a little bit of hate on that comes my way from what I, or maybe it's jealousy. I think it's more jealousy than hate. You know, they see me making a living doing this, but they're trying to do it like on the side.
For sure.
It's like, bro, come on, man. This is what I do for a living. I'm not like, I'm not sitting in a cubicle all day and then running Facebook Marketplace from fucking 5 to 9 every evening. I don't even go on there, honestly. I found like, you know what, in like the whole time I've been doing this, I've bought like, 2 machines off there that other people have
like sent you or whatever.
Yeah. Mostly the stuff that I get is like word of mouth or from like shops and shit. It's pretty bizarre, honestly.
Well, right. I mean, you and I have talked about this, that people know who you are and shit just comes to you.
Yeah.
I
got another big deal that I'm trying to work on too, but it probably won't happen anytime soon. But if it does, it's crazy. It's like 1 million pieces of really big shit. Yeah. Yeah. It'd be cool if it does happen though. Be interesting to see the stuff. I have some really, really rare, forging equipment right now, metalworking stuff right now. That's like, and when I say rare, it's like stuff people have never even seen before. It's not even out there in the market or anything. People don't have this shit sitting in their shops. and I have it sitting in a container outside. Just
you have an example?
Yeah, but it wouldn't really make sense to the listeners nor you, but there's a leg vise that's really rare, and it's called an adjustable leg vise. So like, you're familiar with vices, how they have a long lead screw on them, right? It doesn't matter if you're dealing with a bench vise or a leg vise, but this one only has like a 2-inch lead screw. So like the adjuster parts, you can only move the jaws like 1 or 2 inches, but the back jaw has a ratcheting mechanism on it where you can literally pick it up and move the jaw. Say you want to clamp something 6 inches. Mm-hmm. Well, you would put it at like 5 inches.
Right.
And then you would move the screw 1 inch. And yeah, right. It's just like a quick adjuster, but it's 8-inch jaws and it weighs 180 pounds. And
so like, how do you adjust the jaws at 6 inches just to be able to do it 1 inch?
So like, the back jaw has a ratcheting mechanism on it. So it has like a big mechanism that picture, teeth, like step down teeth, like stairs.
So you can just like pull it back. Like,
exactly. Brrr. Yeah, okay, exactly. Gotcha. Yeah. It does make that noise. But it's like pop, pop, pop.
So
when they come up for sale, they're only like 4 or 5 inch jawed. They weigh like 60 pounds. This one's 180 pounds and has 8-inch jaws. It's fucking massive. And I've never ever, you know, I've restored like over 500 vices. 100,000 vices now. And I've never seen one this big before. So, and I have some pretty rare anvils. I got a lot of just really, really, really nice hand tools, like really nice shit. There's actually a guy from a school coming up this weekend to look because they want to outfit their school. It's the same school that Chris Powell's in, the American Building College, the American Building Arts College, I think, down in South Carolina or North Carolina. I can't remember which one of the Carolinas it's in. But their lead guy is coming up to see what they need for the school or whatever, because they're in need of hand tools for the school.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, it's very, very cool.
Go lay down, Joey. Sorry. Joey's being a butthole.
It's all good. I got Stella at my feet chewing on her bone right now.
So, side story on Joey.
Yeah. He diarrheaed all over the wall again.
No. A couple months ago, we were over at my wife's parents' house, and I had him on a leash. He can never not be on a leash, right? Fucking crazy psycho.
Stop fidgeting.
Me?
Yes. You're turning your head. Just like...
Oh, sorry. So
that scruffy 5 o'clock gray shadow you try to call a beer.
I don't try to call it anything.
Yeah.
Anyway, I had too much lead on his leash. And as soon as that door was open, he went for one of their cats. And he had that cat in his fucking mouth, like the whole back neck.
Biting or just like holding it?
Kind of
both.
Kind of hard to tell.
Yeah.
And her parents were like, that's it. Joey can't come over like unsupervised or anything.
Seriously?
Yeah. Yeah. And
what? And he's going to kill the cat?
Yeah. Like it might have happened.
Stella's never caught one. She's gotten really close. Mm-hmm. Because we have, like, the farm cats will sleep on the porch in the evenings. And when I take her out to go to the bathroom, she'll chase one through the field. She can never catch them, though. But I don't think she would do anything, though, because she caught a rabbit one time.
Yeah.
She held it in her mouth for literally a split second and then let it go to chase it again. I think it's more the chase for her than it is the actual capture.
Yeah. So, you know, if I had to go to the doctor or whatever, I'd drive Joe over to the in-laws, drop him off, do my thing, come back, pick him up. Well, that is no longer available.
So you mean, like, without anybody there, you'd drop him off?
No, like, there's always someone there
to
watch him because he can't be left alone.
Right.
So my annoyance and hatred toward Joey the last few months have just gone through the roof.
Because he tried to kill a cat?
Well, because now I'm even more confined about what I can do because I don't have a quick...
Imagine if you had a kid.
It'd be terrible. Oh, it'd be fucking terrible. No. So, anyway, I take Joe to the vet because he, like, nervously licks his freaking legs and stuff to the point where you're like...
What are they called? Hot spots?
Yeah. He makes a rash on his legs because he licks.
Anyway,
I take him to the vet and... They had to put a fucking muzzle on my goddamn dog because he's a fucking nutso.
Oh, he was trying to bite?
Yeah. Oh. And just like growling and fucking snarling.
Really?
And they're like, have you considered like some mood stabilizers for your dog? And I was like, yes.
Marijuana.
Please. I was like, give him the highest dose of Prozac you can possibly freaking give him.
Dude, that CBD we used to give our Great Danes, that shit worked like crazy.
Well, Joey's on, he's on Prozac now.
Is he actually?
Yeah. So he loves it because he won't take a pill. I've tried giving him pills, peanut butter, like every
but
little
you
fucking.
Get, so what's he get now? How's he get the pill? You put it up his butt.
No.
I thought that's where I was going. He loves it because I put it up his butt now.
No. What the fuck is wrong with you?
I don't know. I thought that's where that was going.
No, I have to fucking take my razor blade and cut the pill open. It's not it's a capsule. And I fucking pour out the fucking powder, the magic dust, and now I mix in fucking tuna fish with it. So now he gets a can of tuna fish every fucking morning.
Your dog eats tuna fish?
He'll eat anything, dude.
Really?
He is a savage.
Is he a shit eater? Like if he finds a pile of cat shit, will he try and eat
it? Yeah, cat poop for sure.
What is the deal with that?
I don't know.
That's how Stella is, too. She, like, wants to pick up a nugget and, like, carry it around with her. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's disgusting.
I don't know what the appeal is about cat shit. Amy used to have a Weimaraner that would go in the litter box at her parents, like, after the cat took the shit, and eat the shit, and it would come up to you with, like, cat litter all stuck in its teeth.
Joey would love to do that.
But... dog's name was Lady. It was I hated that dog. They loved it. They had it for like 15 years. The first time I ever met Amy, it bit me in the ass.
Ooh, not good.
I was like, is this dog bite? And they were like, no, she's fine. It's laying on the couch. I walk by and it just like snaps my right ass cheek as I'm walking by. I was like, motherfucker. Anyway.
I'm fucking covered up with Joey right now.
You and your first world problems. Oh, how's your house remodel going? Almost done or what? Do we have a date?
No. So the main floor will be done this Friday.
No kidding.
Putting in like the final touches now.
Wow. That's exciting.
It is very exciting. But also there's another project running concurrently. I know you don't know what that means.
It's something to do with water and the speed of it. Something like
exactly,
that.
Yeah. Exactly. The velocity X over 2 divided by 3 pi.
Exactly. You always want to... swim against the concurrently.
That's right. So the bathroom, walk-in shower, whole fucking like man shower bathroom is going to be done.
What is a man shower?
So it's going to be in my basement where I have all the metal and everything. So,
are you getting a bidet?
No, I did consult what's his face on it, but
who?
Oh, you know who.
I don't know. I'm genuinely curious now. Who'd you consult about a bidet? Is there a bidet consultant that we know?
Yeah, of course.
It's not embarrassing. Just say who it is.
It's Fernando.
Wait, why would he be a bidet consultant?
You don't know this fucking story?
No, tell me this. Maybe he told me and I just told him. Tell me the story. What was the story?
I don't know if I can.
Give me the quick.
He put a bidet in the fucking the Blackthorn.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh no, I didn't. I did not know that story.
Oh, dude. Like,
or maybe I heard it and I thought he was joking.
So at Maker Camp, there was my stupid crew that I was hanging out with.
Yeah, those fucking
idiots.
I don't know, but okay.
Like JC and fucking.
Oh yeah. I hope JC comes back to Maker Camp.
I don't know if he will or not.
He was awesome.
But like fucking Charles and fucking Evan, all those dipshits.
Yeah.
I go up to Fernando and I was like, yo, listen, I've heard some fucking rumors and I got it. You guys.
Why is that a big deal though?
Cause it's just funny. Because
have you ever tried one?
No, I have not. But he installed.
Calm down. You're getting so excited about a bidet.
Well, it's funny.
It is funny, but I've never tried one before. I'm genuinely curious.
Well, there's one at the Blackthorn.
Yeah, but you got to get Fernando's room.
And only Fernando gets Fernando.
Only Fernando gets Fernando's room, exactly.
So good luck.
Yeah.
He gave us a tour and fucking everything. And it was a whole big thing. Anyway.
Nice. You didn't have any, like, desire to try the bidet?
Of course, but there was a fucking crowd.
I don't care. I would have went for it. I probably would have went for it.
No.
I would have tried to squeeze one out.
Oh, God. What is wrong with you? Anyway, listen,
you don't poop.
Yeah, I do, but not in front of a, like, fucking JC.
Well,
and
it's
Charles.
Not like you would leave the door open and be like, hey, guys, watch this.
Now check this out. Idiot. So
I wonder who we know that has one. I'm going to get so many DMs. Dude, I got it today. It's life-changing. Bought toilet paper. I haven't bought toilet paper in 5 years.
So fucking Fernando was a little.
Does it have an air dryer?
No.
Dry your ass, too?
But so, listen, there's a bunch of different models.
Okay.
And Austin wouldn't let him hook up the heated model. So instead of just shooting cold water, you can have it shooting warm water. Yeah, exactly.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So you're just getting this freezing cold blackthorn butt.
Yeah, yeah.
I wish I knew what room number Fernando was. I think it's like 31 or something. I can't remember. It's in Terra Hall, though, isn't it?
Yeah. So
did you go look at the bidet?
Yeah, I told you.
Is it gold plated?
No, it's not gold plated, but I mean, it was hilarious. Nice. Just the whole thing was just funny.
So as you were doing your bathroom,
I've already got a toilet.
Yeah, but why did you decide against it?
It wasn't even a thought because we had this conversation. So it was me and Charles talking to fucking Fernando. And we're like, listen, it might be okay in like fucking wherever he's from, New York or Connecticut or some fucking uppity. Fernando, like
he lives right 20 minutes from me.
Yeah, whatever. It's, you know what I mean.
Maryland, it's not uppity.
It's uppity.
Okay.
And I go, dude, listen, if you were single and you brought a woman home and you're like,
I think
hey,
he is
there, I'm just saying in general. Okay. It was me and Charles. I was like, yo, if you brought someone home and you're like, yeah. You know, go to the bathroom and they open the door and they saw a bidet, like it would be a whole fucking thing, right?
What
be like,
I don't know. I think it's becoming more and more common.
It's not. Not in Kentucky. Come on. Are you fucking kidding
me?
Well,
I mean, you guys just got running water. Let's be real here. And there have to be a pressure valve on there for me, too. Because I'm like straight up exit only. If something goes in there, I'm going to be furious.
Okay.
Like if you get a water jet up your butthole,
mm-hmm.
That would suck. Especially if it's freezing cold.
So it was.
I've never had anything up my butt.
So, listen, I told this
story. What an intro!
Okay, listen, I got something for you.
You know, like when you're 40, you're supposed to get your prostate checked and all that stuff. And everybody, yeah. As I was approaching 40, was like, oh, it's not long. You're going to have to go get your prostate checked. Mm-hmm. Like, bullshit, I'll die from prostate cancer.
Dude, seriously, you should.
Dude, my luck, I'll get the dude that fucking won the Super Bowl in, like, 87. He's got, like, the biggest fucking rings ever.
So, I had a whole bunch of GI problems years ago.
No, not you. You've never... Yeah. You're, like, a pillar of health. I can't believe that you've had something wrong.
So, I was fucking looking on this doctor's website, and I told this story at Maker Camp a couple years ago, and it said, you know, I needed.
What about a colostomy?
I've had
the enema, coffee enemas.
I have, yeah.
Yeah.
Let me tell my fucking story.
Wait, with coffee?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Bro, did you select your flavor? You're like, I want caramel cream.
No, not so much.
Why did you do that?
I was having.
So you were trying to figure out anything to help you.
Anything and everything.
Yeah.
Like it was.
You couldn't poop.
It was like there was just a whole bunch of fucking problems. So I'm on this fucking website, motherfucker head, and they're
don't
like,
"Go on the web to figure out why
you
can't
will
poop."
Will you fucking listen to me? Will you fucking just listen to me? And the fucking thing said that I needed a digital exam, and I was like, "Cool, it's like fucking scan me, right?"
What? What are you saying? Googled why you can't poop, and you said you need a digital scan.
It was part of this fucking thing at this doctor's office. And so I get there, right, and I'm explaining everything to him, and I'm like, where's the scanner? And he goes, what are you talking about? I go, where's my fucking digital scan? He goes, and he fucking puts on the glove, snaps it, he goes, digital, like digit, and he holds up one finger.
Oh, no way. Here, you think you're going to stand in an x-ray machine or something.
No.
What the fuck?
Yeah. But I have had a digital scan of my fucking insides. You got to take this weird fucking like radioactive fluid.
Fluid, yeah.
And they put you in the MRI.
Yeah, Amy had to do that for kidney stones. She said it was disgusting.
Oh, it's awful.
Yeah. So you can feel that shit like going through.
You can. You absolutely can.
And thanks.
And the lead up to it is you got to take this fucking saltwater solution, so you have diarrhea for like 80 hours before to completely clean you out.
Yeah, you can't eat anything and all that
and
shit.
And dude, and whenever I went, it's like an hour and 20 minute drive from my house to the fucking to my GI doctor, and I was on the fucking expressway. And I was like, I had to stop at every fucking gas station from here to there.
And yeah, just squishy butt.
Oh, dude. It was just fucking pouring out of it. Like total ass piss, dude.
Peeing out your butt.
Oh, it was horrible. Fucking horrible.
That's wild. I've never had anything, knock on wood, I've never had, like, anything like that. So you ever heard about people getting compacted?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's kind of wild. You know that when Elvis died, they found I just heard this on a podcast the other day. They found a shit in him that was like 5 months old. Five months, dude. Because he was a pill popper.
Right.
And he was like, he had poop in him from 5 months ago.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
Listen, speaking of all these things and remodel, I've got a little notebook here.
Yeah.
This is like gold mine. I found this. This is 2012.
Nice.
When I was working at the hospital.
Oh, okay.
I took some fucking, like, incognito
wild notes.
I took some notes. And they're just...
What was your reasoning behind that, you think? Was it to write a book later?
No, these are patient quotes. And they're not meant to be funny or, like, fucking, like, ridicule people with mental illness. I just thought some of these statements were so goddamn outlandish that I had to record them. Some of them are, you know, whatever. There were turkeys everywhere around the fucking campus.
Uh-huh.
And this guy's looking out the window, and he
says... This is when you were a patient or one of the workers?
Fuck off.
It was a genuine question.
I was never a patient at the fucking...
I don't know. Everybody says that your poop and tissue story, the poop castle was you.
That was not me.
You were the inmate and not the employee. But anyway.
No.
What are some of the statements you wrote down, and why would you write them?
Just because they were funny. This patient looks out the window and goes, look at those motherfucking turkeys.
Okay.
He goes, yo, why is that turkey beefing on me? What the? I don't even understand.
What year was this again?
2012.
Okay.
I heard they're having beer and popcorn, but where's the beer? Like, I don't fucking know why these people said some of this stuff.
No, I think the more interesting question is, why did you write them down?
Because it's funny. It smells like someone defecated their pants in here. Where's the baby? What? I don't understand it.
Yeah, but you were writing this shit down?
How could you not write that down?
I don't know. It's weird.
The only place you'll find me when I get out of here is either the church or the bar.
Oh, my goodness.
It's time for another ding biscuit. They called every freaking medication a ding biscuit.
What does that even mean?
A ding biscuit is... So the freaking doctors would call it snowing the patients. They just load them up on everything. So they'd come in there like all fucking...
You mean
fresh?
Pilled up?
Yeah. They'd come in fucking fresh crazy, as they called it. And then they'd snow them with all these pills, and they just turned into fucking walking zombies. Called it the Thorazine shuffle. No joke.
Really? Thorazine the drug?
It just lay those motherfuckers out.
I've never even heard of that. I don't know a lot about drugs.
This person said, hey, can I get some cocaine?
Are these dated and, like, timed? Do you know, like, exactly when they said?
That was at 5/18, 2013. So just the date.
You were really writing this stuff down. And for the listeners who can't see this, this notebook is filled. Like,
yeah.
Filled.
Here's one. It says,
I'm trying to dissect this. Why? Because I'm looking at this notebook filled with things that people said. What was your reasoning behind writing this down? Yeah, they're funny. Some of them are funny, but what, at the time you're writing this down, like, this will make a great book. I can't wait to
rehash
some of the,
Well, no, I didn't do it for posterity. I know you don't know what that means, but.
Yeah, it's when you stand up straight in your chair.
Yeah.
Sit up straight. Posterity. Hello, posterity. Everybody should have good posterity.
I just knew that it was fucking, like, there were just weird statements that caught, like, you know, people just bullshit. But, like, someone
will
say something.
You wrote them down. You made a physical. Like, all right.
So this dude, he was nuts. This guy attacked me twice, okay? Like, physically attacked me.
Uh-huh.
And then after the altercation, he said, I'm not crazy. I got stabbed in the ass with a sword. Did you get stabbed in the ass with a sword? No, I did. Who do I talk to? This dude, this happened.
So hang on. You would have this conversation with somebody, or you just overheard this happen?
No. This was after an altercation of this patient between he and I.
Okay, so then you would go back to your office and write this down?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, my office was like 10 feet away.
I don't think they were the ones that need to be in there.
No. Come on. I'm not trying to fight the system anymore. They're smarter than me. So there was this one dude, all right?
Would this be Memoirs of a Psychopath?
Maybe.
Is that like the title of the book?
A lot of weird things have been happening to me since I was butt raped in jail. Maybe that's why I'm here.
What? Any alien stuff? You ever remember anybody saying, was anybody ever there that was abducted? You ever remember anybody saying that?
Yeah.
Was there?
Yeah. I mean,
somebody said they got abducted and they've been screwed up ever since, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but like sometimes people would say things to try to be like overly crazy. And whenever they would say some like outlandish shit, like you're just trying to make yourself look crazy.
Was this a penitentiary? Was this a jail? I can't remember the details. Was it a jail or was it a psychiatric ward?
It was a psychiatric hospital. And so the reason that they got put there is because somewhere in their past they had done something or had gone
totally crazy.
Well, they had gone to some sort of psychological like a psychiatrist, psychologist, something, and they have been diagnosed with something.
So these are the people that plead insanity after they murder somebody.
Sort of. So if they get picked up, they would go instead of going to jail because they had some sort of mental health problem, they would come out to the facility and they would get on my ward. We called them fresh crazy because they came right off of the street.
Right.
And typically stopped taking their meds.
Was this government-owned facility or a private?
Yeah, state.
So it was government, yeah.
So they would come in and then we would evaluate them for competency to stand trial.
That's pretty wild that you're evaluating.
I wasn't evaluating.
Oh, okay. You were a CO, you were a correctional officer.
No, I wasn't.
You were making sure they stayed in line, they did what they were supposed to, like that kind of stuff.
No.
They
had people to do that. And those were
okay,
those
then dudes. What did you do besides write notes like a psychopath from other psychopaths?
Listen to this one. If I could rewind this motherfucking tape in my head, I'd be a fucking genius. I can relate to that.
Oh my God.
So what I did is I provided recreational programming for them.
Played dodgeball with them. You played dodgeball and tetherball.
Yep, that's it.
Whatever happened to tetherball? How did that phase out?
I think enough people got their teeth knocked out.
Do you remember running to the tetherball pole when you were in school? You remember that? Like when recess let out, everybody would run to the tetherball. And it was the first it was one of the 900 schools I went to. It was the first person to hit the ball was the first person that was allowed to go.
Really?
Because there was like maybe three or four tetherball. Kids don't even know what tetherball is, bro. Isn't that wild to think about?
We had one at my grandma's house.
What a fun game.
It's like a fucking speed bag on
But if you really think about it, like, it was fun. Like, when you got that thing whipping and they couldn't stop it, because the object was you had to stop it from twirling all the way up tight.
Yeah,
right?
You gotta get it all the way to
Like that. And if you got that thing whipping to where somebody couldn't stop it and you knew you were gonna win, and every time it comes around, you're jumping and you hit that thing. Pow, 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 pow. You're like,
and the only way and the only way to stop it is to jump right in front
jump
of
in front of
right
it while it's going
face.
Yeah, and they don't have those balls anymore that we used to play dodgeball with, those hard rubber,
yeah, real like, thick, and they're like had
yeah,
texture
when,
on the outside
when you
of
got
them.
Hit with it, it dropped
oh, left
to your
mark.
Knees. Yeah, they don't have those balls anymore.
No,
like remember you, and that ball was the tether ball. That ball was the kickball. Because you remember, if you got a good pitch in kickball and you rocketed that thing into the outfield with that bounce of that rubber,
it was gone.
You could be like 8 years old and feel like Babe Ruth hit a home run. You know what I mean? Pow! You kick that thing, and then if somebody's running bases and you catch it and you beam them in the brain pan with it, and they just slide down because. So my buddy's telling me the story. He takes his kids. He's got like a 9-year-old, a 14-year-old, and 20-year-old. He's like, "Yeah, we're playing kickball in the backyard. It's me and all my kids' friends and everything. And we're all over." He's like, "Yeah, let's play some kickball." And he's like, "Yeah, I got the good ball." And we both knew what he was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
When he said, "I got the good
ball.
I got
the good ball."
Yeah. So he said the kid kicks the ball and like ground balls or whatever. He picks it up and he throws it. And he hits the kid. Cause you know, you used to be able to like throw the ball and get somebody out. He said all the kids freaked out.
What?
And they're like, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "Well, he's out." And this is the dad talking to the kids. And they were like, "You can't throw the ball at him." And he's like,
What?
That's what he said. He's like, "That's how you get somebody
That's
out.
That's how you get them out."
They're like, "No, when we play in school, you have to run after somebody and tag them with the ball." And he's like, "Fuck that. I'm beaming you little fucker."
Seriously.
So it's like, man, kids are getting soft. Because that was part of it, too, when you play kickball. It's like you had to dive out of the way if somebody tried to beam you out or something. Or you run real fast and then stop, and they throw the ball, and they pass you. And then Oh, dude, those are like such good childhood memories.
It's probably the last time you ever ran, right?
Kickball. Yeah, probably. No, I've been chased by some shit in my adult years where I've had to run. Anyway, the good old days. Bring back tetherball.
So our tetherball at my grandma's house.
Yo, Austin, I know you're going to listen to this. Let's do a tetherball thing.
For fuck's sake.
Bro, that is the perfect demographic for that because everybody will know what tetherball is.
So the tetherball at my grandma's house, it was like a speed bag kind of thing. It wasn't a big.
It wasn't the ball.
It wasn't the ball. It was like hard leather, and you had to fucking really smack that thing.
Now these fucks are out here playing pickleball.
I don't understand pickleball.
It's like softball tennis.
Oh God!
It's like tennis, but with a bigger ball. So like the kids that couldn't play baseball, they'd go play softball because it was.
So you can be drunk and play tennis.
Well, not just that. It's like, well, yeah, I'm sure that's a lot of it, but you just have a bigger object to hit.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. It's weird. I'm not into any of that shit anymore. Pickleball. I think the last time my wife makes fun of me because I have a. When I lived in Hawaii, they did those. You remember when you were a kid and they used to put you on the fake cover of Sports Illustrated? Do you ever remember that? Like, did you play any school sports at all?
Are you serious? Have you seen me?
This was in elementary school. I'm talking like
fourth grade
or something. Yeah, well, anyway, I got a picture of me when I lived in Hawaii, and I was a super toehead. Like, my hair was... What?
A super what head?
Toehead. You never heard that expression where your hair is like so bleached white it looked like a toe? Yeah.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah. My hair was like ultra bleached white when I lived in Hawaii and I have this picture of me on a fake Sports Illustrated hold the bat and it was like T-ball
swimsuit edition.
Like, Amy's like, "Is that the last?" You know Sports Illustrated just went out of business. Did you hear that?
Really? No, I didn't.
Anyway, Amy, is that the last time you ever played sports? I was like 9 or something. I was like, "Yep, that's about it."
Dude,
not any kind of league or anything. But.
Man, listen, I was real short in grade school and shit.
No,
they thought they were gonna have to put me on like growth hormones and shit. No, seriously, like it.
Hate to tell you, but you're still real short.
No, I'm not real short.
At 55 or whatever you are now,
46, bitch. But so I never got picked.
It could be worse.
To be on
Lucas
the back.
Is shorter than you, isn't he?
I don't know. Hopefully,
I think Lucas is 4'5", 4'6".
Yeah, maybe.
Oompa.
So I never got picked for basketball, and then I remember the last time I got picked, I was so fucking mad. I was on the outdoor gym outdoor court, and I was on whatever team, and I went to the other side, and I fucking made a basket, and I walked off the court, and they're like, "There's a ball there." That was me. Like,
wait! You shot the wrong basket
on purpose, and I fucking the only shot I ever made is like, boom.
Why were you mad that you got picked?
I got picked last, and everyone was like, "I guess we'll take Roy, the short kid." I got made fun of all the fucking time as a kid for being short.
Good.
I fucking hate them all. I'll kill them. I don't give a fuck.
Good thing nothing's changed.
I'll kill them. I'll wring their goddamn neck.
That's what I'm saying. You were the patient. You were literally the patient.
I was not the patient.
These things you wrote down were things that you were saying.
Just my thoughts, right?
Yeah, they were your thoughts. Give me another one. Just give me a random one. Don't try and think of something.
I'm trying to read it. It says, I'm a virgin and I'm going to hang out. I'm a virgin and I'm going to haunt these halls.
What?
I'm going to haunt these halls.
Okay. Interesting. Whatever that means.
Oh, he might have been talking about me. It says, this motherfucker has electronics in his retinas. Weird.
Talking about you.
So there was this weird fucking patient, all right? I don't know what this word is, but he fucking said it all the time. It's dosimetry, like no bullshit.
Uh-huh.
And this dude, like, the patients that were...
What was the context he was saying it?
It didn't matter. Like, that was his code word for, like, whatever. And he was a fucking manic patient, so he was just nonstop, just blah, 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 blah. And he liked to play ping pong, and I was a fucking champ at ping pong. And my thing was, I don't give a shit if you are a patient. I'm putting the thumb down. I'm going to win every goddamn time. I don't fucking care. So I'm playing this dude ping pong.
Because you have short man syndrome.
Maybe. But, hey.
No, 100%. Not a maybe. 100%.
King of the ping pong table. I don't give a fuck.
Okay, good, go ahead.
So he's like popping off about all this dosimetry stuff. And I grab.
Do you know what dosimetry is?
No, I don't. So I grab the ball.
Something
on,
to do
stop.
With radiation.
So I grabbed the ball, and we all had fucking badges to get beeped in and out of the Sally Ports and get on the fucking on the ward. And I grabbed that ball, and I was like, I'd rub it every time I'd serve it. I'd rub it on my fucking keypad, and I'd be like, yo, I'm getting that fucking dosimetry going, and I'd fucking whoop, 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 and I'd fucking smoke his ass every time, and he was just going, I don't know what to do.
You traumatized him. Dosimetry refers to the science by which radiation dose is determined by measurement, calculation, or a combination of a measurement and calculation. That's what dosimetry means.
I don't know what you just
Why said. Would he be saying that? So basically, it's the way you measure radiation. Dosimetry, gotcha. That's what that means.
So the reason that he was in the clink was because, like I said, he was manic. And manic people, do you remember that fucking movie clink. Back in the day?
He was in the clink. What movie? Mannequin?
No, that's a good one, though.
That's a good one.
Short Circuit, Johnny Five.
Oh, yeah, little... Johnny Five, still alive.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the thing that he wanted to do was fucking input, right? He just wanted to consume information. Remember him?
Yep.
So that's what fucking manic people do. When they're spooling, it's like they're on cloud nine. They just want to
like
consume
you.
Every just fucking like bit of information. Not right. me. And they have an endless retention of all this shit. And so his wife got tired of it. He gets a divorce. He's going into court. And right as he's in fucking court, he just decides to like explain how a fucking pipe bomb was built. Like, not that he was going to build it, but like, he just wanted to say,
he knew,
like, I know how to build a pipe bomb. This is what you'd fucking do. Well, you're going to the fucking,
going in the clink.
going in the fucking clink. So he didn't want to fucking hurt anyone. He was just consuming and regurgitating information. And those people, like, they do not want to fucking come down and get snowed off the fucking, off of the mania, because it's like, it's a natural high. And these people were just bouncing off the walls all of the fucking time. So maybe a lot of these fucking things that I've written down were people that are just blasted out of their
cuckoo
mind.
For Cocoa Puffs. Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
And it was really actually kind of sad whenever they would get freaking loaded up on Ding Biscuits about a month in, and you could just see, you could see the light go out of their fucking eyes, you know?
Like, I wonder if that's a common term.
Ding Biscuit?
Yeah.
I don't know. But a lot of them had like meth and dose psychosis.
Wow.
And so my gauge for meth on the fuck on, because here's one statement. It was, you know, the difference between a good and bad haircut.
What's
two
that?
Weeks. 2 weeks. So I was also in charge of facilitating haircuts, right?
That's hilarious.
And if someone like a 20-year-old would walk in and just have this real thick, wiry gray hair or white hair,
a 21-year-old would have that.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a telltale sign of fucking meth right there.
Oh.
It'll fry you from the inside out.
Oh, okay.
I've got no empirical evidence to support that. I know you don't know what that means.
Yes, it's.
But like it, like that was my measure.
It's right the way there. We measure things empirically.
Yeah. Anyway, there's some little hospital lane right there. I'll save some of these for later.
Hospital lane.
Yeah.
You're such a dork.
What are you talking about?
It's so bizarre that you wrote all that stuff down.
I've been hit twice on the fucking ward. And yeah. one of them, he was trying to get his hair cut.
Mm.
And this guy was, you know who Krusty the Clown is, right?
Of course, yeah.
Dude looked just like him, and every time he came back, he was even crazier every fucking time. And wow. this guy was just a total piece of shit.
Why did they keep letting him out?
Because he didn't do things that were bad enough to like lock him away forever.
Wow.
And he the fucking homeless, essentially homeless, and he'd get on his meds, get leveled out, and be a normal functioning person, and they'd let him back out on the streets, and then he'd stop taking his meds, and then fucking do something stupid, and then get thrown back in, and it was just this big revolving fucking cycle. And this guy was like the worst of the worst, and I fucking did not like this guy at all. And I'd have to escort this woman on the ward to give haircuts. We had a professional beautician. She'd come on the ward, give them haircuts once a week.
Oh, my God.
There was a whole fucking thing. Like, you have to do all these things to be able to get your hair cut. And a lot of the people, they had already spent, like, a few months in jail or something before they got transferred to us.
Right.
And they had fucking hair that was just, like, are you kidding me? Out of the world, right?
And he was so jealous.
And yeah.
You were bald at 18.
I was. And they just wanted it buzzed off. Anyway, this fucking dude, his hair, red hair, looked just like Krusty the Clown. He was probably 6'9", skinnier than fucking anything.
Yeah.
And he was just the smarmiest motherfucker.
Smarmiest?
Oh,
okay, we're
God.
Making words up now?
That's not a word. That's not a made-up.
I know smarmy. It's not a word.
It's not a made-up word.
Smarmy.
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 Yeah, look it up, bitch. Smarmy.
Smarmy. That's
you know
what we're
what
going
it,
with.
It's like smarmiest. A fucking, like a grease fucking ball.
Smarminess.
Just dirty, fucking nasty,
okay.
Rotten out teeth. Just fucking the worst of the worst. Smarmy motherfucker. This
it's
dude was
used
terrible.
The wrong way, I think.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, it's just, it has. No, smarmy describes someone who is overly flattering and fake.
And that's not, no. Anyway.
What means smarmy in the English dictionary? Extremely polite or helpful or showing a lot of respect in a way that is annoying or does not seem sincere. So basically an ass kisser is what smarmy means.
Nah,
and just for the record, smarmiest yeah. is not a word.
He was
so
the smarmiest motherfucker ever. So the fucking, I forgot what her name was, Christine or whatever. She's on the ward, like. Starting to set all her stuff up, and Aaron knocks on the door. Well, give me a haircut. And I prop the door open just a little. And I'm like, Aaron, you can't get a haircut. You ain't on the fucking list. You haven't, you got to do this, this, and this to get on the fucking list, Aaron. And
this is like, the Krusty the Clown guy?
Oh, yeah, his name was Aaron.
Okay.
Maybe. Air quotes, Aaron. I don't know. Just fucking whatever. And it's a push open door, right?
Yeah.
And all the windows have the fucking like checkered like wire mesh in there. Like,
uh huh. So you can't break out.
So you can't break through it or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I opened the door just enough, and I had my foot, like, right behind it.
Uh-huh.
And this dude fucking starts screaming the worst, most foul fucking things at this poor girl. I mean, just, I want to do this and fucking, and I'm screaming. And I've got my hand on the fucking door, my foot on it, and I'm on the radio calling for fucking backup.
Backup.
Like, get the fuck here! Get the fuck here! And he's like, he's just screaming all this fucking profane shit at this girl.
He was being super smarmy.
Oh, dude, it was the worst. And he's so greasy, he's sliding off the fucking door. And then he fucking pushes it just enough and just rears back and wham, decks me right in the fucking face.
No kidding.
And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there's like, I can see out of the fucking, like, the corner and the window. And
right.
And Aaron's standing straight up right after he just clocked me. And then all of a sudden, like, three guys just, whoo, and he just tackle. Fucking
disappears.
Disappears.
He's out of your field of vision because he's on the ground.
And fucking poor Christine's like, oh, my God. This was, like, 2 weeks into her fucking, like, 2 weeks that she'd been on the ward, you know.
Right.
And she's like, what is he in for? And I was like, he's a raping ass.
He's been the smarmiest person ever.
This dude is a rapiny, a rapiny. Motherfucker.
Oh, man, dude, we're just slinging made up words now.
Dude, this guy was the worst. He'd rape everyone. He
super
was just
smarmy.
Oh, I fucking hated
Kentucky's
that dude.
Just filled with rapers.
No, that was fucking dealers. That was Washington.
And, oh, that's right. It was
that was
Washington.
Oh, fucking Aaron.
Where were you born?
I was born in Indiana.
Oh, okay. Scares.
Floyd Knobs.
Never heard of it.
You don't need to.
Why do you think they named that Floyd Knobs?
It's Floyd's Knobs.
Oh, okay. Did Floyd have some big knobs back in the 80s?
Well, so we lived on top of the hill, and the knobs are actually these, like, little hills that go down to the Ohio River. So they're,
yeah.
You know, once you're in the river valley, you got to come up and get out of it, and there are all these little hills and knobs. That's what they called them.
Interesting.
So I lived in Floyd County. Went to
I've never
Floyd
heard
Central.
Hills be called knobs. It must be like a Midwest.
They're just
thing.
Like real small hills.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So you going to Blaze Show again this year? Or are you undecided?
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just like there's, I was trying to fucking
maybe
nail
take a
down.
Year off. Maybe take a year off.
Yeah, I was trying to nail down, like, what has happened to me in Vintage Axeworks. I've been working. I've got a really good customer that's sent me a bunch of shit. And I've been doing a lot of stuff in
Yo,
the shop.
Yo, do the Brazilian axe, you worthless fuck.
Why are you so hung up on that?
Because it'll be cool. I want to see it done. Nobody's ever seen. You don't see axes like that, period. You have cool axes there, and you're doing the same shit over and over. What's the definition of insanity?
Well, some of those things over and over.
What's the definition of insanity?
Go fuck yourself.
Go ahead, say it. Say it. What is it?
Doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results.
Right.
So you know what the net result is? I sell stuff, and I get paid. It's a fucking business.
Yeah. But how about you do something different, and maybe you'll make more?
Dude, all right. That little
don't give me this dude all right shit. We've had this conversation off air 100 times. So, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because you're doing the same shit over and over and over, and it's becoming work now, and it's job.
It became
work. It's not fun anymore. It's not passion anymore. You're not fucking having fun. Maybe that's what it is.
So
that's why I'm fortunate in what I do. I'm able to mix in the machines because I get tooled the fuck out. I don't want to see another machine. I don't want to see another tool. And then I'm able to go into the blacksmith shop and get all artsy and creative and fun and make some really cool hammers that people are going to use in their shops. Maybe you doing the same goddamn thing over and over again with the same exact result every time.
Well, the result is it sells and I make money. That
right.
little fucking, that cute little double bit that you sold.
I'm not saying you don't make money. I'm saying maybe that's why you're not passionate about it anymore. That's why you don't give a fuck about it anymore.
It's not that I do give a fuck about it. I still
you
do.
Give a fuck. You give a fuck about the business. You told me before, I don't give a shit if I see another fucking axe for the rest of my fucking life. It's like, you care about the business. You don't.
I care about the business.
Yeah, you don't care about axes anymore.
No, I do. I still like axes. I still have a personal collection.
Right.
What's
the rarest axe that you have in your personal collection?
Oh, probably a Kelly Perfect jersey from the 1800s.
Isn't that like boring? It's just a boring pattern?
No.
Oh.
It's not boring at all.
Is it cool looking?
It's very cool.
What makes it cool? Like aesthetically, what makes it cool?
It's got a whole bunch of etched script on it.
Okay. So
super,
it has like
super deep
you.
Bevels.
I thought it was just gonna be like just like Kelly X and like they normally do.
Mm-mm. No, I've got three of those.
It's from the 18 when?
Late 1800s, like 1880s.
What's the value of something like that?
Oh,
$500.
No, a grand. I wouldn't get rid of any of them for less than a grand.
Why? Because rarity? Is it like a find another one category?
They're out there, but they're in my mind because they're from Louisville. They were made Kelly.
Sorry, they're from where?
Louisville, Louisville, as you all call it.
That was
English. fucking idiot.
So let me ask you. Hang on. Slow down a little bit. I don't want to go into a whole axe history lesson. I don't give a fuck about that. But you said there are some out there. Are the ones that are out there about $1,000?
I would suspect so. I mean, they've gone up in value over the last few years, just like everything has. I got them for less than $1,000, but if I was selling them right now, I wouldn't take anything less than a grand.
Give me another one. That's kind of cool.
That I have?
Yeah. Do you have like a super immaculate Black Raven? As many Black Ravens as you've done, do you have like one that's like pristine and amazing?
I used to. I sold it to Ward though. I had a few of them that were like, ooh, that's
like
Tits McGee
brand
right there.
New, factory fresh, never been struck.
No, not that new. Like,
does anybody have one of those?
Mike Miller does. Yeah,
one that's never been hung.
He's got a couple of them. Still got all the paint on there. I think, I mean, he wants a blue.
Wait, they were painted?
Mm-hmm.
They were, Black Ravens were painted back in the day?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Were they hand painted? Do you know?
I don't think they were.
I'm just wondering if there's a dude that just sat there and painted them. What was the color scheme on a Black Raven? Was it that black and yellow?
Yep. So the etch was gold, and at one time it was like gold leaf stuff way back in the day, apparently. I don't know if it's a rumor or not. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I've got a couple of to like normal people, it's not a big deal. But yeah. For instance, my wife a long time ago, we were at a junk store and she found a Plum National boys size axe. Okay,
right? Yeah, I've seen this before.
But it's a Girl Scout stamp on it.
Yeah. You've had me look for those before because that one auction I was at where there was like 500 axes, there was about 500 Boy Scout axes. And you're like, bro, if you see one that says Girl Scouts.
but the specific size and handle on the boy's axe to find a Girl Scout stamp on a boy size axe. You can find Girl Scouts on hatchets pretty easily.
That was what was.
But yeah, because it's bigger and it's on a 28-inch handle.
Gotcha.
So imagine a girl walking around with a friggin' 28-inch axe.
Just
not common at all.
Interesting.
I've got some old Kelly registers that I'm happy with. I've got some, I really like those freaking, I just put one up for sale too, those freaking Legitimus 7-point crowns. Those are fucking rare, man. I can't believe that thing didn't sell instantly.
Legitimus 7-point crowns.
Yeah. The crown has got 5 points on like 95% of everything. But if you find one with a variation that has 7 points on there, it's, you know, just collectors just key in on all the little nuances.
Right.
And they're just more valuable because they're more rare. That's it. They're just cool. I just like them.
Interesting.
So I've got my personal collection. It hasn't dwindled down, you know?
Okay.
So I'm not saying fuck axes.
Yeah.
I mean, I might say that to you whenever we're just fucking talking about something. I'm just like, I don't want to talk about fucking axes. Let's talk about something else.
Yeah, because I always call you and be like, bro, what's up with the axe market right now?
You know what I'm fucking saying, you idiot.
Oh, shit.
But I've got a good customer. He's got he's starting to get into axes, so he's got some really cool etched pieces that he wants to send me. I just did 5 for him, and they turned out really freaking nice. So
sick.
So it's going to be a good long-term customer.
That's cool.
You seem so enthused.
I'm bored out of my mind talking about axes. I would rather talk about why clouds are made and how they're made and the weight of a cloud and all that good stuff. On that note, I would like to thank today's episode sponsor, Red Label Abrasives. You guys are the best. Go to redlabelabrasives.com, sign up for the newsletter, get so much off of your first order of abrasive belts. Try them out. Check them out. Tell us what you think. Tell Red Label what you think. Got anything else? Maybe we'll see you at Group Forge.
I hope so. Very first statement I ever recorded.
Okay.
Hey, does this look satanic?
That's a wrap on the end.